This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Frost on the wheatgrass, frost on the sage, frost on the aspen leaves, steam on the lake. Blue autumn skies turn colder by the day, and it's time to get this round of party underway. Just buckle on your leggings, get your saddle cinched up tight, pull the round up. Cattle on the skyline, cattle in the trees, riders close behind them, and freedom on the breeze. Well, this way of life is getting older by the day, and it's time to get this round of party underway. So rousing up your ropes and spur your ponies quick and light for the round. Summer waiting, working on the land, and I spend the winter waiting for the time to bring. And I spend a lifetime riding through the sage, burning in my blood. There is no other way. You can call me crazy, say whatever you will. Party underway. Buckle on your leggings, get your saddle cinched up tight. Pull the round of the fire. Burn tonight. Yeah, the round of the fire. Burn.
Listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. We have a great show today for you. It's going to be a lot of great music with Bryn Hill. Bryn is a cowboy, a singer, a songwriter, and a great dad, and he'll be joining us for the Campfire Cafe today. And then we'll be talking with Lexi Peters, who is CEO of Hooves for Heroes, and Shannon Schreffnagel, owner of Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and we'll be joined by cowboy poet Larry Hatfield. When we come back, we'll be talking with Bryn Hill.
Well, there's nothing like a golden canvas prairie in the fall, stretching to the canyons and the hills. Catch that old blue Roni in the twilight before dawn, with the whitetail buck abounding through the fields, through the fields. Then you ride the long and winding road to the meadows on the butte, where the fatties drift and mingle through the pines. Dump out old Blue Roni, he's a frosty back galoot. Thank goodness for the soft grass if you land on your behind. Up on Blacktail Butte, it's a high lonesome feeling. Up on Blacktail Butte, with the whippoorwill singing. Up on Blacktail Butte, chasing fatties through the meadow as you turn them towards the two-track on the muddy sawmill loop. Up on Blacktail Butte, you can hear the bull elk bugle. Up on Blacktail Butte, see the redtail and the eagle. Up on Blacktail Butte, chasing fatties through the meadow as you whoop and spur and spin and run. Up on Blacktail Butte. Was just a dusty summer since we struck out in the rain, chased them skinnies up from down below. Old Quinny blew his latigo up on Kamiah Grade, and he landed in a pile of mud and snow, mud and snow. Then he rode the long and winding road, shivering to the bone, bouncing in that dusty old flatbed. He climbed into his pickup and he lit a shuffle home with a busted rib and a goose egg on his head, on his head. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
it's a high lonesome feeling. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
with the whippoorwills singing. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
chasing fatties through the meadow as you turn him toward the two-track on the muddy sawmill loop. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
you can hear the bull elk bugle. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
see the red tail and the eagle. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
chasing fatties through the meadow as you whoop and spur and spin and run. Up on Blacktail Butte. Of a feeling when you stand upon the rim, you see a line of cattle moving with your family friend. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
it's a high lonesome feeling. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
the whippoorwills singing. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
chasing fatties through the meadow as you turn him toward the two-track on the muddy sawmill loop. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
you can hear the bull elk bugle. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
see the red tail and the eagle. Up on
Blacktail Butte,
chase the fatties through the meadow as you whoop and spur and spin and run. Up on Blacktail Butte, saddle up, we'll have some fun. Up on Blacktail Butte.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're just delighted to have Bryn Hill joining us from Hooper, Utah this morning. Bryn, how are you?
How you doing, Gary? Oh, I'm just great, Gary. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. You know, enjoyed having you on the show last year and have been looking forward to having you come back. Just a super nice guy. And we want to introduce you to the audience that we have that just continues to grow and learn more about the cowboy and Western lifestyle and music. And you have been called part of the future for the Western and cowboy music genre, and that's quite a compliment coming from some of the fellows that have said that. But tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're a sixth-generation Westerner, and talk to us a little bit about growing up and your cowboy experiences.
Well, Gary, I grew up here in Utah, and I tell people I grew up here, and I plan to die here in Utah. It's kind of right in the dead center of all the country that I like the best. I'm in northern Utah, west of northwest of Salt Lake City, about 50 miles, and so I can jump in the truck and load up a horse, and within about an hour or so be in western Wyoming or southern Idaho or southern Utah or just about western Nevada, eastern Nevada, just about anywhere that a feller might like to ride. And so I'm my roots are pretty deep here. I grew up, I would say, at least half a cowboy. We have family ground up in Ogden Valley, and always had horses up there, always horses for me to ride. And somewhere in my childhood, that just kind of took hold, you know, and we went into the Selway Wilderness back when I was about 12 years old, 10 or 12 years old, and that was when I first heard the music of Ian Tyson, heard a record called Cowboyography. It kind of changed my life, and I decided then and there that I wanted to be a songwriter and write about the things that I loved, and kind of along those same time frame, the Elko Cowboy Poetry Gathering was really coming on. You know, this was 89, 90, 91, and I was just over in California with my buddy Ross Knox, a great cowboy poet and great cowboy. He cowboyed all over the Great Basin, and we talked about the old days at Elko and the characters we used to meet there, so that's kind of how it all began for me, and I've just been writing and singing ever since. You know, I love I love this way of life. I've got two horses in the pasture right now. Both of them need some miles on them. And lately I've been putting more miles on my rig, you know, driving down the road to gigs. So that's kind of the trade-off sometimes. But that's where I come from.
Yeah. Well, were your family ranchers?
You know, I'm kind of a generation removed. My dad and my mom were both grew up in agriculture, and my dad is an accountant. Mostly for agriculture. He's a treasurer for Western Range and has been for many years, and so he travels all over the country with them, but has a lot of accounts with family ranches and farmers out here. So I'm a generation removed. I didn't, we didn't grow up on that as a means of survival. We hauled hay on the weekends and fixed
right.
fences. And for me, the part that I loved more was horses, you know, than the work. when I was right out of high school, I got a riding job, just east of Ogden here, and worked with alongside of a guy that's a cowboy legend. In fact, he just took his family to the Parker Ranch in Hawaii. He's in a VP role there. He finished the master's program down at the King Ranch last year. His name's
wow.
Jason Van Tassel. I wrote a song on this Ode to Selway record called Riding Job, and then long ago I wrote a song called Call You Cowboy about Jason Van Tassel. So I've been fortunate, you know, to ride with some guys that are career cowboys and that make their living off the land. I guess I know enough about it to know that my place is behind the guitar.
Well, we had Waddy Mitchell on the show last week, and, you know, he was a real cowboy for a long, long time. And he said, Pard, he said, you know, he said, I never met a cowboy that liked a cow. He said they just like to be out in the wide open spaces with a horse. And I think we both agreed that the best place for a cow was on a plate. So the horses do make
yeah.
a difference. They do make
Amen.
A difference. Well,
yeah.
you know, your background, though, and where you grew up and your experiences that you had and riding back up in the Selway area that you were talking about. And by the way, the new CD is Ode to Selway. And we want to make sure that people pick that up because it's absolutely a great CD. We're going to try to play as many songs as we can today to share with people. But about the writing process, obviously the people that you've come in contact with and your experiences have been the influence for your writing, I suppose.
Absolutely. You know, I have to live it. And it has to be real to me. I'm not a fan of music that's contrived, and I'm the last guy in the world to say a bad thing about the music industry. But so much of the music industry is music that is made for the purpose of putting hits on the radio, and that's never been who I am. I have to live this stuff, and that's why I live where I live and do what I do. You know, when I have free time, I'm on the back of a horse and riding the country that I love. But I heard that when I was young. I was watching an interview with, of all artists, a guy that's not a cowboy but a great songwriter, Billy Joel, and he said, you know, the best songs come from life. And so I've made it a point to kind of submerge myself in this lifestyle and stay that way. And it's not hard to do because it's who I am and it's what I love.
And I guess too, Bryn, a lot of your audience, a lot of the people that you perform for probably come from that background, don't they?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's the cowboy poetry gatherings have been quite a phenomenon, and thanks to guys that we've talked about here recently, Waddy and Michael Martin Murphy, for really getting that movement underway. And the Cowboy Poetry Gathering has built an audience for a new cowboy genre, for cowboy poetry and music. That's really the world that I come from, and and that I operate in. And the cowboy poetry audience is about as authentic as it can be. It's mm-hmm. also people who are enthusiastic and love it and just have never had the chance. And,
right.
And you know, we welcome everyone with open arms. You know, the West is there's a little bit of cowboy in everybody. I think some of them just have to find it. And,
right.
You know, I've been there's a gather up here and a drive across Deseret Atlanta Livestock, 17 miles. They do it two times a year. The Circle H brand, the Hopkins family, and good friends of mine, and I've ridden on that over the years a number of times. And I had a fellow ride up next to me, and he says, "Hey, I'm a fan of your music, and I wouldn't be here unless I discovered it." He says, "My wife and I, we moved to a rural part of Utah. We bought horses 6 or 8 years ago." You know, that's the best that can happen, is to introduce somebody into this lifestyle, let them, you know, realize their dreams and realize who they really are through the art. You know, that's the best that we can accomplish, I think.
No, that's great. That is a great thing. We want to play Breakaway Runaway right now. Is there a story behind this song?
Well, you know, it's kind of an evolving phenomenon here. I sat in Burns, Oregon at a rodeo last year, and I watched these girls rope and talked to the family member of one of the contestants there. And, you know, there's kind of an evolving phenomenon in the rodeo world, particularly out here in the West. And sometimes the best ropers in the arena are the girls.
Gosh, well, there's some pretty good girl ropers out there. And so we want to play Breakaway Runaway. It's from the current CD, Ode to Selway. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Bren Hill.
Gather slack on a Saturday night on a horse bred Lucky J Pine. She spins his heels in the July dust and whispers everything is gonna be fine. The price of diesel's up $1.15 since they struck you out in the spring. They broke left and she missed him clean. All she can do now is cling to the dream of a breakaway. No choice, she never dreamed she could feel so alone. But there's a fire burning deep inside and a new hope shining in her eyes. She was born to rope and ride from the Texas plains to the Selway skies. She's a breakaway. Gonna
Grand Hills Breakaway Runaway from the Ode to Selway CD. And Bren, I've talked with a lot of your friends, a lot of folks that are storytellers. And yeah. We talk a lot about the fact that the Western music and the cowboy music is maybe the folk music of today. And just tells the stories of the West as it was and still is. But it seems that times are a-changing. And it's getting tougher for our ranchers and our farmers. We're losing some of our trails on our national and federal lands. And there was a situation that's taken place in this past week that's caught quite a bit of attention through social media, not as much through the national media as it probably should have. And that's a situation that's going on at the Bundy Ranch. And I know that you've had some friends, I think, that kind of participated in helping support him in that. Talk to us just a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's something I think we all need to bring our attention to if we deeply are passionate about the lifestyle that we love. Most horse people are, and the situation down in southern Nevada is one we need to pay attention to. And Clive and Bundy is a rancher. I believe he's a third or fourth generation rancher there. I don't know the Bundys personally, but we have many mutual friends, and of course a lot of that support came from for him over the weekend came from rural Utah, and
right.
Of course I had a lot of friends there. There was a good showing from rural Utah that to support the Bundy family, but he's a fourth generation rancher. He's been in a dispute with the BLM for a number of years. The reason that it has, I would say, come to a head at this particular moment in time is, there's some interest in putting a solar energy field within about 50 miles of his ranch. Obviously, the environmental impact study that was done for the solar energy field requires some transplant of some desert tortoises that have been on a threatened list in that ecosystem for a number of years. And the most insightful thing that the BLM decided to do was to move Clive and Bundy and his cattle off the place so they could make room for these transplanted tortoises. And there's some big business cronyism and some politics at play to put this immediate pressure on. And of course, we see from afar what the BLM how the BLM handled this, with military and weaponry, and that's disconcerting. The Bundy family
yeah.
has been on that ground since before the BLM's inception. His obligation is to Clark County, which is the immediate governing land organization, and he's happy to to work out his arrangement with them, and thank heavens, he has received the support. Heavens, the BLM did the right thing in backing down. I don't think we've seen it, but I know that my prayers are with the Bundy family and a peaceful, a peaceful resolution, but one that. The Bundy family ranch that ground.
Well, it's a challenge today, I think, for our ranchers and our farmers, and when it comes into conflict with some other things, people need to use wise judgment decisions and not let money become involved in so much, but do the thing that's right. And I think we see a shrinking of the number of people that are ranching and farming today, and we need to support our ranchers and our farmers. I think Don Edwards had a song that he did that was called The Last Cowboy, and it was a pretty interesting song. It's kind of a frightening thing to think that it's disappearing out there. And you were right earlier. I think we all have a little cowboy in us, even if it's just weekend cowboys. But that's something that we don't want to lose, both the heritage and the tradition, but the value that it brings to people, because these are folks that are feeding not only the country but the world. And folks need to pay attention to these things that are going on today and express their opinion, probably in the best way that they can, and that's through contacting their congresspeople and get out and vote. And so people need to pay attention to this stuff.
You mentioned also, Gary, that the social media has been has done a good job of reporting this story and raising awareness. And, you know, I think we are fortunate to be in a day and age when we don't have to rely on mainstream media.
Right.
We can connect, you know, through our various channels as, you know, as horse people, as ranchers, as lovers of this lifestyle. We can connect with each other and get the word out and become a very vocal minority. The other thing, you know, the last thing I'd like to say is that the ranchers and farmers that I know, particularly the family ranchers that have been entrusted with ground that they hold sacred, they are the true stewards of the land. And the day is never going to come when an outside organization or a federal organization knows the land better and treats the land better than the family farmer or rancher. The ones that have survived on it for generations, the way the Bundy family has, they do so by being true land stewards. And I hope that one day, you know, our country realizes that, because in so doing, they will realize the importance of agriculture as a foundational industry in our great history and hopefully to our future.
Well, we want to make sure that tradition and that history and the future contributions continue. And we're going to play a song right now called Call You Cowboy by Bryn Hill. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Bryn Hill.
Never pass this way again. Something
saying that your time is now, boy. And your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you cowboy. She's got eyes as blue as the sky. Whoever said cowboys don't cry? It's just something deep inside saying your time is now, boy. Your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you cowboy. Yeah, your daddy calls you a drifter, I call you friend, I call you cowboy, I call you cowboy. Well, I call you cowboy. Hills
Call You Cowboy, and I think that is the title song from the CD of the same name, isn't it, Bren? Call You Cowboy?
It is. Yeah, it is. I'll tell you what, a lot of memories come back when I hear the original recording, too. That song has meant a lot over the years.
Well, it's a great song. You are a great storyteller with your music, and we want to encourage people to go to your website, that's brynhill.com. And can they order the music there?
Yeah, from brynhill.com. If they want a CD copy, we send them right out. My wife and I handle those orders. And it's a real mom-and-pop organization here, Gary.
Well, you've got a great team. Selena is just a joy to work with. And I know she's the better part of the team.
You got that right, for sure.
Oh, gosh. Well, listen, it is always a pleasure to have you join us on the show and to talk with us and to share your music. And we want to mention that this Saturday, April the 19th, you'll be performing, it's a CD release concert at the Sublette County Library in Pinedale, Wyoming, and that starts at 7 o'clock, and you'll be performing with Andy Nelson. And so you need to check out Bren's website, brynhill.com. You can check his tour dates there, order his music there, and learn a little bit more about this half of a cowboy, he said. But just a neat, neat guy, and we always enjoy talking to you, Bren, and look forward to having you come back again.
I'm so honored, Gary. I appreciate it so much, and I'm so glad that you're having the success that you're having, and that to see so many people support it and come together around the country. God bless horse people.
Well, thank you so much for that, and tell Selena hi for me, and. She's always a joy to talk with, too. So thanks again for being on the show. We're going to close out this segment with a title song from Bren's CD, Ode to Selway. And we've been talking with Bren Hill on Equestrian Legacy Radio. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lexi Peters, CEO of Hooves for Heroes. Bren, thanks again.
Thanks so much, Gary.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
of the snake. I am free, Lord, I am free. And I miss my home and family and the woman that I love. But the spirit of the Lapwai runs through the land like blood. And I'm leaving it behind me now, 'cause that's how it has to be. But I'll return and I'll be free. Blasted timber wolves, they run free, Lord, they run free. Canyon winds and rivers, clear and clean as polished gold, they run free, Lord, they run free. And the world keeps changing, spinning faster all the time, when a tired and troubled nation weighs heavy on my mind. I can leave it all behind me and be just who I want to be, and be free, Lord, to be free. Time, when a tired and troubled nation weighs heavy on my mind, I can leave it all behind me and be just who I want to be, and be free, Lord, and be free. From spotted Bear, Montana, to Nez Perce, Idaho, I am free, Lord, I am free. Turn me loose and set me running on Elk City Wagon Road, and I'll be free, Lord, I'll be free. When you see them crystal waters, you will never be the same. You can disappear and wander inland, never to be tame. So leave your troubles far behind you, come and ride along with me, and be free, Lord, and be free, and be free.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're happy to have joining us now Lexi Peters, who is the CEO of Hooves for Heroes. Lexi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, and a mutual friend of ours, Ernie Brubaker, has told me for about a month or two that we needed to get you on the show and talk about what you're doing. So we're happy to have you today. And for our audience, Lexi, and I enjoyed talking with you just a little bit before the show, but talk to us a little bit about your background with horses, and I know you were involved with Special Olympics at one time, so share a little information about that with us.
Yes, sir. Well, I've been around horses since I was three. It was like love at first sight, and from that point on, it's been like nonstop horse shows, and I did Western Pleasure for a while, and then I started to do jumpers and then some hunters. And then once I got married, I kind of focused on just trail riding and pleasure riding and stuff like that. And then now we're just starting to focus on the therapeutic part of the horse, you know, riding part. And I have experience working with children with special needs, the Special Olympics. I went to school for equine science and stable management. And so it's kind of been in my blood since a very
yeah.
young age. So it's once it started, there was no coming back after that.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your experience with the Special Olympics, because I know that had to be a rewarding experience for you.
Oh, yes, sir, it was. I was 12 years old, and I got an opportunity to volunteer as, at first, a sidewalker with the Special Olympics at a boarding facility that I was at. And after a few weeks of working with the adults and children, I was asked to be a leader to lead the horse around the arena. And then eventually I was able to help instruct the class. And it was really rewarding because you start off with kids and adults who are either really eager to ride or really afraid to ride. And then after a few weeks, you see, you know, them just blossom into amazing, you know, equestrians. And we got to go to the county fair, and, you know, I had my group of kids and stuff like that, and I helped them get all groomed up and give them a little pep talk and stuff like that. And you would think that it would be, you know, I would be the one giving them a pep talk if they were actually giving me a pep talk. But they did amazing. They came in first place, and for years afterwards, before I moved from where I'm originally from, I'd see them at the local, you know, grocery stores or at the mall or something like that, and they would just come up and give you hugs and just thank you and stuff like that. It was truly amazing to see how they just blossomed into such amazing horsemen and horsewomen. It was a beautiful experience. It really was.
Well, I'm sure it was, and it just had to be really rewarding. And talk to us a little bit now, and I'm sure that had some influence because of your experience there with the therapy, with the horses, with these kids. But how did the Hooves for Heroes come about?
Well, it kind of started, actually, it was the foundation was with working with the kids in the Special Olympics. It kind of inspired me to eventually one day have my own therapeutic riding facility, whether it be really small or really huge or something like that. And I kind of never lost that goal from a small age, even though everybody told me it's a really big goal. I either had two goals in life, open my own therapeutic riding facility or be an Olympic horseback rider. That was my two goals. And everybody's like, wow, you know, that's a really big goal. You know, you had to work really hard towards it. And I was like, I'm okay with working hard towards it. You know, it's not supposed to be easy if you really want it. So years went by. There was a lot of setbacks. You know, I had to go to school, then student loans, and then we got married. My husband, you know, being military deployed, we PCS'd to several different duty stations and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I'm now in my 30s. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I kind of lost, you know, my faith a little bit in it. And eventually I was like, you know what, we're going to do it. And so we kind of just bit the bullet, and we got it started, and I had to sell one of my best horses to get the funds up to start it. But it started off to be very, very small. Didn't think it was going to blow up this fast, this quick, but it has.
Right, right. Now, did you start with, did you start with just therapeutic riding for civilians, or did you start working with the military?
Actually, we first started just giving typical riding lessons here at our farm, at Silent Hooves Farms, and here in Holt, Florida. And we just kind of started with, you know, children as young as two, and we have, you know, adult riders and whatnot. And then, you know, my husband and I kind of tossed around the, you know, the possibility of starting up a therapeutic riding center. You know, we just really didn't have no idea where to go, you know, to start off. And my son was taking, he had some issues with some muscles in his neck, and he had to go to physical therapy every week. And his physical therapist was like, hey, have you ever heard of PATHS International? I was like, no, I haven't. What is it? And she started telling me about it. So I kind of started to pursue that. PATHS International is the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship and International, and it offers certifications in equine-assisted activities and therapies. So that was my goal, is to become a certified riding instructor, therapeutic riding instructor. So we started branching off into that, starting my certification, and I kind of got into friends through friends. We ended up meeting a woman who was a therapeutic riding instructor certified through PATHS International, and she has close to 10 years experience working with children and adults with special needs. And she contacted me, and she just thought it'd be an amazing, you know, opportunity to work together here at the farm and, you know, branch out, you know, for our service members and then their children and family, and eventually start working with children with special needs. So it's kind of just unfolded before us really quick.
Right.
We're kind of just taking one step at a time because we never thought it was going to take off this quick. It started back in June of 2013, and it's kind of went crazy after that. So.
Well, sometimes those things just take on a life of their own, and it's meant to be. But how did you get involved with the Hooves for Heroes program? Because I know that you're now working with servicemen that have come back from tours of duty. How'd that start, and what was the reason for that?
Well, my husband and I, the main reason was to start, give my husband, he's been deployed 4 times over to Afghanistan and deployed 6 times total throughout, 10 years of him being military, and constant deployments in a war zone, I started seeing the stress level of my husband coming home from overseas. And then, being a military wife and your husband's in an area where you can't call him when something happens, you kind of learn to be independent real quick, and you kind of have to do things on your own and make it work. So you don't have a choice to, hey, I need to call my husband. No, you just got to learn to do it yourself. So when he come home, I was on such a routine, he kind of had a hard time finding his place in the home.
Right.
And so he kind of got a little withdrawn and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what, I think you need to go out and start working with the horses, whether you work with the, brush them, take them in and out of the pasture, bang fence posting or something. I think you need to spend some time with the horses, and we'll all go out there as a family and work together. So that's what we did, and it kind of, helped us build a stronger relationship, not only as husband and wife, but as a family, because we do have 2 small children. And I've seen how it really helped him just relieve a lot of stress. It was a positive, healthy outlet that helped him decompress and get back into normal civilian life. And, it's anything from just brushing a horse to just, fixing a fence. You can see him go out there for a couple hours, he comes in, the stress level was, way, lower than before he was, was out there. And he's been overseas several times, and he has lost some of his brothers, and some very close friends have been killed in action, and he's seen a lot of his buddies get wounded, and he's had several close calls, for himself. So he's coming home from that type of atmosphere, and then directly into civilian lifestyle. You have a lot of side effects that, loud noises or crowds and stuff like that. So just getting him out there and working with the horses and working with me with the horses and giving him a horse that had some challenges themselves, because all of our horses are rescue horses, and being able to communicate with one another without any words, and then to build a relationship and to work together and meet goals and stuff like that, has really helped him and us as a family. So I thought, him and I sat down, he's like, we should probably start branching out to our community. I mean, there's many people who could benefit from this, coming home from overseas. Bring the families
right.
in, people who've disconnected with their family or disconnected with their kids, bring them out, have them come out here and ride, communicate with the horses and help the horses heal. Because not only are these horses helping these soldiers and their family heal, as well, the kids with special needs, but they're actually helping the horses heal as well, too, because these horses need to learn to trust all over again and learn to be in an atmosphere where it's okay to have people touch them and not be afraid to be in a crowded situation where there's a lot of kids or adults around them or anything like that. So it's kind of like reverse psychology, I guess you could say. They don't know that they're actually helping those horses as much as those horses are helping them. And no words need to be spoken when that whole healing process starts. I mean, just brushing a horse or going out there and cleaning a stall and stuff like that has really healed not just my husband and I, but as well as, our community, people coming in.
Right. Well, I think, Lexi, that one thing that people need to be aware of is the fact that as our – and by the way, let me ask you to thank your husband for his service to the country, and we appreciate his service and all of our servicemen and women that are doing their part to protect our freedoms and around the world. But one of the things that people need to realize is that not only do our soldiers come back often with physical scars, but they have the emotional scars that they carry with them. And it not only affects them, but it does affect their families, because they've been separated for a while. And as you said, you became pretty self-sufficient while he was gone. But I think that you told me that your program involves not only the service men or women, but their families as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you know, soldiers come home with not just physical wounds, but the emotional scars, the wounds that are unseen, and they come home, and it's very hard for the families to quit. Like, the communication skills might be not as good as they were before they deployed, or they weren't as good before they deployed, and then when they left, it just got worse. So what we like to do is bring the families in, and have them work together as like a single unit and just be like a team together. And they can learn skills, communication skills. They can learn coping skills, because when you have a soldier who comes home who has PTSD, you know, like you said, it doesn't just affect the soldier, it affects the family around them. And sometimes they don't know how to cope with it. They don't know who you can reach out to and talk to about, or should they reach out and talk to anybody about it. So sometimes, you know, not just the soldier feels alone in it, but also the family. And as
right.
my husband being a soldier and me being a military wife and a military brat, we've kind of been down that road. We can't say that we know every little, you know, experience that they have experienced themselves, but we can relate to it at some level. My husband especially, for soldiers coming in who are dealing with the loss of a battle buddy and stuff like that, he's been there. He's done that. He can, you know, he can help them understand. Now, we do have, you know, therapists that come out and work with, you know, the soldiers and the families and whatnot and the children with special needs, all different types of therapists. But we are there, too, if they just need somebody to talk to. Like, hey, listen, you know, do you mind if I just kind of vent to you for a few minutes? And we're like, yeah,
yeah.
It's okay. We can, you know, lean on our shoulder if you need to. Lean on the horse. You know, that's what they're here for. We're just here to help you, you know, cope, heal, and just have a healthy, positive outlet. And so you don't have to resort to just being alone. And that's, like,
right.
the biggest issue with soldiers with PTSD and families who are dealing with soldiers with PTSD is that they just feel alone. And really
right.
they're not. There's so much support and love within the community that all they have to do is just reach out their hand. There's going to be several people ready to help them and lift them up.
Well, it's a great program that you have in place. We have a friend, R.W. Hampton, who had a son that was a Marine and still is a Marine. And he wrote a great song about what our servicemen and women go through called Hell in a Helmet. And we want to listen to that and take just a brief break. When we come back, Lexi, let's talk more about where you're located and how people can get involved in what you're doing. But right now you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and this is Hell in a Helmet by R.W. Hampton.
That transport chopper's loading up to take us to the plane. Me and my boys are good as gone. After 7 months of living here and dying side by side, what's left of us is finally going home. Mom and Dad are waiting, big sis and brothers too, and I know what they'll expect to find. I don't want to disappoint them, but we just did our job. The heroes are the boys we left behind. We're hell in a helmet, and they call us justly so. We're fighting sons of bitches all the way. Put our faith in heaven and the ones that watch our backs. Devil dogs till our dying day. Marines till our dying day. I've tried hard to tell them it's not me that's coming home. At least not the me they used to know. And there's no way of explaining how I hate this dirty place, yet how I'm gonna miss it when I go. There's a pretty woman I will meet with a baby in her arms, born while my buddy was at war. Now how am I gonna tell her why I didn't bring him back? I've never known anything so hard. We're hell in a helmet, and they call us justly so. We're fighting sons the bitches all the way. We put our feet in heaven and the ones that watch our backs, devil dogs till our dying day. There's a girl who'd come to see me if I'd only call her up. Got a letter said, oh, how I'm missing you. But could she ever love a fighting man with only half a heart? Half a heart that's broken right in two. So I'll take comfort in good whiskey, read my Bible and I'll pray, but my heart and soul's a half a world away. To those dusty streets and dope fields where my brothers bled and died, and where the better part of me must stay. We're hell in a helmet and they call us justly so. We're fighting sons of bitches all the way. We put our faith in heaven and the ones that watch our backs, devil dogs till our dying day, Marines until our dying day. That Nighthawk chopper's leaving now to take us to the plain. Me and my boys have loaded on. After 7 months of living here and dying side by side, what's left of us is finally going home.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Lexi Peters, and she is the CEO of Hooves for Heroes. And quite a need for what you're doing, Lexi. And so we commend you for your efforts to help our servicemen and women and their families as they're adjusting to life back at home again. And I find it interesting, you've mentioned a couple of times that you use the rescue horses and use them in your therapy program. How did that come about?
Yes, sir. Well, we have horses here that a lot of people give me a call like, hey, listen, we have this horse. They can't be ridden. They're not good to be around, you know, people, you know, this, that, and the other, or they have health issues and we can no longer take care of them. So, you know, the majority of our horses are ones that people could not ride anymore for whatever reason. And they'll come here, and I never really give up on a horse. I always feel like there's a purpose for them one way or another. So we work with them for a little bit. We kind of just give them some downtime. And then we start working with them, and we gain their trust and whatnot from the ground up. And it's amazing to see these horses. Like, they can, it's almost like that they can relate. They understand, like, they're no longer going to be put in a position where they're going to be abused anymore. And,
right.
You know, there's always going to be food and water ready for them. There's always going to be a little kid or an adult who's going to love on them and show them respect that they deserve. And it's amazing how these horses understand that and give it back tenfold to the people that need it most. And these horses, when I first got them, you couldn't hardly touch them. And now they're beginner walk trot lesson horses. I have children as young as 3 years old riding some of these horses. We have a horse, he's 18 hands, he's an Irish draft, quarter horse, and then a Shetland and a mini pony right now, and all of them were unwanted. Nobody wanted them for one reason or another, or they said they couldn't control them. And all of them just needed a little bit of love and some time and some understanding. And it kind of just, you know, it's like they're a form of PTSD, I guess. They've been through something very traumatic, and they don't trust anybody. They can't be around people. And it took a lot of time for them to open up to us. So I think the horses understand that at a certain level, and they can understand that when they have someone come in that doesn't necessarily trust anything or or anyone, and so they learn communication skills, and these horses really build the confidence up, not just in these soldiers, but their families. And they don't come in, they're not judged, there's no labels being put on them. They just, the soldiers love on them, and they love the soldiers back, and it's amazing to watch the healing process begin.
Well, that's just a blessing to both the soldiers and their families and to these horses. And tell us again now, Lexi, where you're located and what kind of help and assistance could you use, and how can we get in touch with you and participate in that?
Well, we're located in Holt, Florida, about 45 minutes north of Eglin Air Force Base. We're in definite need of volunteers. We'd love to have some more volunteers come out and help, being that I'm pretty much the only person that runs this, with my husband, you know, being gone a lot.
Right.
So volunteers, sidewalkers and leaders, therapists, certified riding instructors would be great too as well. We only have one. It'd be good to have another one. Donations and sponsors would be a great thing too. We still lack a lot of equipment that we need to help soldiers who are like have missing limbs and whatnot, who can't walk. So we would like to get some equipment and donations to help build our facility better than what it is, and be able to equip ourselves with stuff that we could better assist our soldiers and their families with. But we can be contacted, but if you go on Facebook, Hooves for Heroes, INC, we're on there quite a bit. All our information and contact information is on there as well, phone numbers and mailing addresses and whatnot. Everybody's more than willing to call with any type of questions. If they want to volunteer, or just come out and brush horses, they're more than welcome to do so. Also, if there's anybody out there that needs, you know, to work with the horses themselves, soldiers' families, anybody like that, they're more than welcome to come out and hang out with us for a bit.
Well, are you putting Ernie Brubaker to work?
Yes, Mr. Ernie's going to be working, and so is his horse Ranger. He's volunteered his time here with us. He's going to be a great asset to our program.
Well, Ernie's a great guy, and he has Ranger T. Walker, who's a Tennessee walking horse, and they have a program called Just Say Woe to Drinking, Drugs, and Bad Decisions. And so Ernie's been real instrumental and involved in that, and so I know that he was excited to meet you, and he said you've just got to talk to this young lady because she really has a great program that people need to know about and need to get involved and help her with. And tell us again one more time how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. Hooves for Hero, INC. It's on Facebook. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Again, it's Hooves for Heroes, INC, on Facebook.
Okay. Well, I would encourage people to do that and like that page and contact Lexi. And it's a great program. And we owe quite a bit to our servicemen and women, and we owe a lot to their families who sacrifice so much when they have a loved one that's gone for extended periods of time and maybe many, many tours of duty in these last few years. So great to have you join us on the show today, Lexi, and share this information with us. And I also think it's great that you're utilizing these rescue horses and giving them a second chance at life. And we have a song that we're going to close out this segment with called Who Saved Who? And it's by Mary Ann Kennedy, and it really asks the question, you know, who really has saved who? Is it the horse or is it the person? And I think that really kind of ties in to some extent with the program that you have, Lexi. So thank you again so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. And
Thank you so much for having us. It's definitely been a pleasure being able to get this chance and opportunity. Thank you very, very much.
Well, we're going to stay in touch with you and remind our listeners about your program, and we'll have to do a follow-up and see how things are going with you. So,
yes, sir.
Well, thanks again for joining us. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We've been talking with Lexi Peters, who is the CEO of Hooves for Heroes. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Shannon and Larry, and going to have a big time talking about Tales from the Trails. We'll be right back after this. Who Saved Who by Mary Ann Kennedy.
Looking for someone to call your own. Then right before your eyes, an open heart wants to be your home. Unwanted, unneeded, now there is love. Your fate can change in just one day. No matter who you are, life is better when you share the way. I ask you, who rescued, who needed more?
Thursday of the month, we're happy to have joining us on our program Horse Trails and Camping Across America to talk with us about Tales from the Trails. And their founder, Shannon Schraffnagel, is always with us. And Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Gary.
Well, glad to have you join us on the show. I hope you got to listen to the first two segments.
I did. Man, what the awesome stories that they shared. So very cool.
Yeah. But you have exciting things that are going on with Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And for folks that are not familiar, this is just a little group that you started on Facebook about how long ago?
Let's see here. It was August 2012.
To August of 2012, and now that small little group has grown to over 25,000 people who are sharing their photographs and information on trail riding across this great country, and just have done an amazing job with that. Kind of update us, because I know you've got some exciting things that are on the horizon that people are excited to hear about, and you have an event coming up in May. So can you kind of update us a little bit about what's happening with HTCAA?
Absolutely. So, yeah, just last week on Friday, we announced some exciting news going along with the process of our website, and we actually got up our registration page. You can find that at htcaa.org. And basically, you're just going to sign in. You can put in your email address and zip code, and that will get you access to the updates and newsletters as far as what's going on with the website and how we're coming along with that. And, of course, you know, it's a growing pains process to get this website going, but I know once people see it, they'll know why we've taken such the painstaking time to get it up and running. It's not going to be like any other website out there. So I can't wait to get it going. But, yeah, in the meantime, we're definitely working on the registration page. That'll help us, too, as far as finding out how many people are coming to the page and kind of giving our IT guys an idea of what to expect once we unleash the website itself. So it's a twofold. It's helpful for our members to keep updated, but then it also helps us in the process of the website development. So definitely, if you can, check out htca.org. And sign up there, and then let us know you did on Facebook. We like to keep up on tabs with that and get everybody kind of interacting on the site. So, but yeah, other than that, let's see here. Last week we went to the Midwest Horse Fair, and we met up with quite a few of our members there. That was in Madison, Wisconsin. Had an awesome weekend. Not enough sleep, but it was definitely a cool weekend getting to meet up with people and putting faces to the Facebook names. I love that. There is nothing better than getting to, you know, talk and hear the voices and give the hugs and the interaction. And so it was very cool. And I did have three of my posse members came with, and that was Sarah Jakes and Terry Peterson and Nancy Vandenover. And they spent the weekend there with me. And, yeah, very fun event. So always tell the members, you know, if they didn't make it this year, definitely make it next year. It's a fantastic horse event. And let's see here, what else? Then we've got the ride coming up in May. It's coming up really fast, and that's going to be May 31st, or May 30th, 31st, and June 1st.
Okay.
And as we stated before, True West Campground is our main host, and they are booked up, but that's where a lot of the main events are going to be. But we're scattered out through all the other campgrounds in the area, so everybody's pretty close by, so even if you're camping in a different campground, everybody, I'm sure, will get the chance to meet up on the trails or at the events at True West, and they can find out all the details for that on our Facebook page, Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And if they go under the events tab on that page, they'll find the information under the HTCAA official trail ride. So, yeah, very, very excited about that. We just keep getting more and more people that are booking. So I don't know. At this point, we're kind of thinking – we know that we've got 200 confirmed, but we're pretty sure we're going to be pushing the 400 mark as far as trail riders coming for that weekend, which is insane, because when we planned this back in September of last year, I thought we'd have, you know, maybe 100. It's been very cool. Very, very cool.
Let's mention to folks, too, that this event is taking place in the Big South Fork of Tennessee up near Jamestown.
Yes, okay.
And so beautiful, beautiful trails up there. And I know that you've got a lot of activities up there that include music and food and fellowship and, of course, the beautiful, beautiful trails that we're blessed with in the state of Tennessee. Be sure and check out Horse Trails and Camping Across America on the Facebook page and the event section. You can get more details on that, and there's still time to get registered with some of the campgrounds to participate in that as well. You know, Shannon, one of the things that you would be the first to say is not possible for you to do, and that would be to run a Facebook page with 25,000-plus members and growing. And you depend upon a lot of really good folks to help you, like the posse members. And all of us that are members of your page have enjoyed meeting some different folks. And we have a couple of fellows that are holding on the line, and we want to talk with them in just a minute. But we want to take a quick break because there's just something special about the trails, whether you're riding in Tennessee or Wisconsin or wherever. And this is a song called The Navajo Trail by Belinda Gale. When we come back,
wonderful,
we're going to be talking with Shannon some more, and we'll also be talking with cowboy poet and just all-around good guy, Larry Hatfield. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Every day along about evening, when the sunlight's beginning to pale, I ride the slumbering shadow along the Navajo Trail. When it's night and the crickets are calling, the coyotes are making a way, along the Navajo Trail. Love to lie and listen to the music of the wind strumming a sagebrush guitar. Over yonder hill the moon is climbing, always finds me wishing on a star.
Song, it just makes me want to climb in the saddle and head out somewhere to ride today. You know, we've got Shannon back on the line with us, and we have Larry Hatfield that's joining us. You know, this has been kind of a across-the-country radio program today because we've had folks on from Utah and Florida, now Wisconsin, and from Stillwell, Oklahoma. I want to welcome Larry Hatfield. Larry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, good to have you join us. And, you know, you've been on the show at least once, maybe twice, and we never really have just talked with you, Larry, about how you got started in horses and what your involvement is. What kind of riding do you do, and what kind of trails do they have out in the great state of Oklahoma?
All right. Well, I think my oldest brother gave me my first ride before I could walk. When folks lived on a farm, you know, and then I kind of grew up in town, and we moved out in the country, and where I got my first horse. Didn't have any cows, so all I did was ride. And, you know, then what with work and one thing and another and living in different places, I was away from horses for a while, and then and got back into them, and that's basically all I do is just ride, you know. So
it's a rough life,
and ride a lot.
Yeah, rough life, but somebody has to do that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I spent about 20-some-odd years in sales, so traveling all over the country. So but I looked forward to the time I could take my horses and go to the trails and camp out for a week and do nothing but ride and relieve all the stress. So I can really appreciate the guest that was on right before and the work that she's doing and how that is such a stress reliever.
Well, it really is, and I was talking with Bren Hill before the show, and of course he's out touring a lot and traveling, and he just said it was amazing how when he came back home and got a curry comb out and did a little brushing and currying and got to ride, the stress just kind of went away, and he got to enjoy his family time then, and he was able to really focus on family and the horses, and so that's kind of a blessing. Now, a little known thing about you is probably the fact that you're a pretty good picker and singer.
Well, that may be debatable. that's in the ear of the beholder, I guess.
Well, I stumbled upon a video of you with some of your friends, and what's the name of that group that you were performing with?
Was it a video or just a CD?
It was video.
A video?
Yeah, some kind of video that I saw, yeah.
Well, I have no idea.
Well, okay, you'll have to look it up. It was pretty good. I was impressed. I thought this guy may have a second or third career here if he's not careful.
Well, I play with my family a lot, you know, and we play music and one thing or another, and I have played back when I was working for a company at our picnics and different things like that, so I don't know if you run across something like that or what.
Every now and then. But let me ask you, you do a lot of riding.
Right.
Do you have a favorite place that you like to ride?
Well, I do. It's about 70, 80 miles from here. It's down at Cedar Lake Equestrian Camp in, eastern Oklahoma. It's probably 2 hours from Hot Springs, but it's an hour and a half drive from me or 2 hours from here.
Uh-huh.
It's in the Ouachita National Forest in the Camish Mountains. It's a national park, probably 70 miles of trails, real good campsites, very hilly trees, mountains. You got Blue Mountain, Winding Stair Mountain. You go to Horse Thief Springs, where it said the Bell Star used to, you know, steal horses and run through there.
Oh, wow.
So it's the country's got a lot of history. You get off down in there, and there's mostly trails. There's some log roads that you ride on. So it's a real nice place to go.
Do you ever get back in places like that, Larry, where you run into maybe some old buildings or what was left of them and maybe some old cemeteries that you run into in places like that?
Well, in this particular place, you might run into a few old hunting cabins.
Uh-huh.
You know, and up on top of Blue Mountain, you can see the base where a fire station or a lookout station was at one time. That's a pretty hard ride to get up top of Blue Mountain, and Winding Stair is as well. Winding Stair is on on Tallahena Drive, Highway 1. It goes down there, runs right down a ridge on top of that mountain, and falls off from each side. So it's some pretty riding, especially in the fall when the colors are changing.
Right. Right. Now, I know most of us that have ridden the trails usually have some kind of an experience or a tale that they can tell. Is there anything that stands out, some kind of special memory or episode that happened to you trail riding?
Oh, yeah. I've got one here that's in it's a true story. It's in poem form. I don't know if you'd like to hear that or not.
Well, I'd love to hear it. Yeah, I'd love to hear that. And especially if it's in one of your poems, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's called Dancing by the Campfire. A couple of my friends and I decided we'd go riding, you see, and we were going to camp out on the trail. So this is about what happened. on this trip. It says, well, a few years ago, me, Hiram, and Eddie decided to go riding and camping, so we began to get ready. We made our list and checked it twice, had everything on it to make our trip nice. Food, bedrolls, utensils, and such, our list was complete right down to our lunch. Coffee pot and griddle I offered to bring. Eddie said he had it covered. Don't worry about a thing. The day arrived for us to depart. We loaded our pack horse, bless his heart. We packed on the skillet, the bedrolls with speed, lawn chairs, clothes, picket lines, and feed. We set out early and had a good long ride, and late that day made camp with great pride. The campsite was ready, the horses all fed. We spread out our sugans and made up our beds. Hungry we were, all three of us. That's when it started. We began to fuss. No coffee pot, no griddle, only a small skillet. We wound up cooking our steaks on a spittle. Red Eddie's ride act, both Hira and I, mad as two hornets with blood in their eye. Finally, stomachs full, we all got to bed, campfire roaring, guns close to hand. Late that night, I woke to a commotion. I glanced at the fire to see Eddie in motion, standing in his boots and only his skivvies. Gave me the heebie-jeebies and also the willies. He was soaking up the fire, so I went back to sleep, back into slumber, deep, deep, deep. Later that night, I began to dream. Not the ordinary kind, but a nightmare, it seems. I screamed in the night just like a little girl. A blood-curdling yell would make your hair curl. Hiram and Eddie jumped up in a daze, asked what was wrong. They thought I was crazed. We finally settled down for the rest of the night, and early the next morn we all looked afright. When asked about my nightmare, what dream my dream was about, it was all I could do not to begin to shout. I said, when you wake up in the middle of the night to see what I saw, it would give you a fright. A naked white man in his BVDs and boots dancing around the campfire. He didn't give a hoot. I may be scarred for life by that sight, by what I saw by the fire that night. A good friend of mine in only his drawers, attending the fire, just trying to keep warm.
Oh gosh, what a picture! What a picture you paint! What a picture you paint! Well, how did? Well, that makes it even more frightening, I guess. How did you get? How'd you get started with this cowboy poetry?
Well, I don't know. I started out in a school board meeting. I was bored to tears at school board training, and I started writing this poem called Blue Mountain about another thing that happened with this same Hiram and Eddie and some other guys. I wrote that, and I don't know, and it seems like after I retired, I just kept writing more and more, and now I just seem like I think in rhymes anymore.
Wow.
I've always made forced verse, writing birthday cards for my mom and when I was little and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a great talent. I love your poetry. Love your poems. We want to take just a break for a minute, and I hope you've got another poem or so to share with us.
I've got a whole book full.
All right.
Just tell me when to stop.
This may be a long time. But anyway, we've got another song that I want to take a break and listen to. It's called Down in Mexico by the Sisters of the Silver Sage. And by the way, these gals are not too far from the Big South Fork. They're up around Knoxville, Tennessee, and great performers and entertainers. So we're going to listen to Down in Mexico by Sisters of the Silver Sage when we come back. I'm almost betting that we have a fellow named Doug Elam on the line. And so we're going to come back and we'll talk more with Shannon and with Larry and with Doug. But right now you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're going down to Mexico.
That village south of the border, where I left my life, my love, in a chapel there standing alone. With the years I've come to know, that I'll never love another. So I'm leaving today, and I'm leaving to stay down in old Mexico. Down in Mexico, a Spanish guitar softly playing.
Mexico by the Sisters of the Silver Sage. And, you know, it'd be just fun to ride all over this North American continent. But right now we want to welcome to the show, and I hope this is Doug Elam.
Yep.
Hey, Doug, how are you doing?
I'm well today, and I'm glad to finally talk to you, Gary. I've seen your post on the Internet and was hoping that we would meet up in May at the ride, but now I'm talking to you here.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I hope I look forward to meeting you out on the trail. And you actually are here in Tennessee, so that's great to have a fellow Tennessean on the show with us today. Tell us a little bit about it. How did you discover Horse Trails and Camping Across America to get involved with this crazy group of people? And a little bit about your horse background experience.
Well, actually, my wife, I believe you've talked to Vicki before, actually is the one
right.
that discovered Horse Trail and Camping Across America. And to be perfectly honest, I've never had been a fan of Facebook. In fact, I actively avoided Facebook until Vicki kept talking about this Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and our eventual goal is to retire and travel the countryside riding
right.
the different trails. So, you know, we're looking on the Internet and in magazines at where we want to go, and then Horse Trails and Camping Across America comes along, and it's totally addicting. And I finally broke down, and I joined Facebook and was trying to help do some things, and Shannon finally asked me if I would help out with the site and work as a posse member, and so here we are.
Oh my goodness! So you're one of those, huh?
I'm one of those.
Yes, he is.
Well, I will say this: Shannon and all of the folks that help her do a great job of keeping that Facebook page very positive and on track. And so it's a great place to go and visit and see great photographs, expand your bucket list, and get great information from so many folks that are willing to share. But Doug, tell us, how'd you get started with horses?
Well, it's a family thing. I don't really remember learning to ride. My mother had horses, and my father had horses. He was he showed Roadster the bike, and my mother showed three-gated, five-gated, and trail road. But, of course, back in the day, we didn't really call it horse camping. It was just camping, and we took the horses
right.
with us because we knew there was trails there.
Right.
You know, and, you know, one of the things you can do, if you look on Google Earth, at the Wrangler Horse Camp at Land Between the Lakes, well, now it's a huge, lovely, absolutely beautiful campground with facilities. So the first time I camped there, it was a bush hog field with one water spigot, and we were proud
oh, wow.
to have that water spigot
know,
in front of an old barn.
Right. Well, it is a great facility up there, and they've got nice trails. I would call moderate trails, not anything really tough, but great ride around the lake, and just a really, really nice facility there. Not too far from either one of us.
No, it's not a far ride. For me, it's about 3 hours up there, and it's about 3 hours to Big South Fork. You know, you and I, Gary, are really fortunate to live in this part of the country. I think we have probably as good a riding here as there is anywhere in the world. I've been riding at Big South Fork for 20 years and haven't gotten tired of it yet. So if you've
well,
been riding
it's,
that many years in one spot
yeah.
and still like it.
Well, you know, 180 miles of trails they have up at the Big South Fork, so you can get a lot of riding in up there. And just beautiful, beautiful country as well. So, do you have a special riding experience that kind of stands out? You know, maybe not like seeing your best buddy in his boots and his skiffs, but
well, I had shared this story with Shannon back in the late 70s. We have a place up here at Cordell Hall Lake. It's Corps Engineer Campground. I guess our friends John Tanner and them would call it dispersal camping. You just kind of pull your trailer in, park wherever you want to.
Right.
And this particular weekend, there were a lot of people up there camping and riding, and we rarely tied our horses at that time. They were ridden so much and usually would ground tie, or we'd tie one horse up to the trailer, and then the rest of the horses wouldn't wander off very far. And my stepdad had a little bay racking horse, and he was loose this night, and there was a young lady that was camped next to us in a dome tent, and those dome tents were pretty new at that time.
Right.
But she had left the door open. Well, Cisco, this little racking horse, decided that there might be something interesting in that tent to eat. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, he sticks his head in that tent. Of course, she woke up, and here she's got a horse's head in the middle of her tent at 2 o'clock in the morning. And she screamed, woke the whole camp up, and scared the living daylights out of him. Well, we all know what a horse does when you scare him.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
He picked his head straight up with the tent on his head and her in the tent, and she was screaming, and the more she screamed, the more he tried to get away. And so, you know, he's trying to get away from this sack on his head full of screaming girls. And fortunately, he was well enough trained when my stepdad got out there. He just hollered, "Hold," because we used him for roping as well. And as soon as he hollered at him, he just locked up.
Oh,
and we were able to get the tent off of his head. But she wasn't real happy when the horses got tied up from then on. So.
Goodness.
But I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Well, now is that up at Granville, Tennessee?
Yeah, that's at Granville. Yep.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we still ride up there where we live now. At that time, it was a pretty good ride for us. But where we live, it's a day ride for us. We load the horses up in the morning, and we'll go up and we'll ride the trails and head back home in the evening. So we rarely camp up there anymore. So
Right, right. Well, Granville is Granville, Tennessee, and it just kind of reinforces what you said about our being so blessed in Tennessee to have so many places to ride. Granville is just a short drive out of Nashville, if people are, you know, in the Nashville area, and beautiful ride around the lake up there. And as you said, it's pretty much just a day ride. But if you decide you want to stay and ride longer, you can, and great food up there at the marina. So just a little plug for Granville, Tennessee, and the state of Tennessee.
Gary, we should mention, I was going to say we should mention that Doug's brother owns Saddle Valley Campground. So Doug is pretty spoiled because he's got a camping spot waiting for him whenever he wants to go down there. So
that's a pretty,
pretty
neat
handy
place. That's a pretty neat place up there too, and Big South Fork is just kind of a unique spot because there's so many really great campgrounds that are up there, and a lot of equestrian communities that have been built because people move in from all over the country to come to the Big South Fork and retire, and just a neat place. So that's Saddle Valley Campground, and I bet they have a Facebook page too, don't they?
Oh, yes, they sure do.
Yep.
It's Saddle Valley Campground, and they have a website, saddlevalleycampground.com.
Okay, so we'll just a little free plug right there for them on that. But just neat place and neat people that you run into. And, you know, Doug, when you've been riding the trails for a long time, you really develop a lot of great friends when you're out. And so that just is another part of it as well. We're going to take another brief break. We're going to come back, and Larry is going to go through his book of poetry and share another one with us. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're talking with Shannon, Larry, and Doug, and we're going to listen to The Land of Enchantment by Michael Martin Murphy. We'll be right back.
I met a lady in my drifting days. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, we watched the sunset by the Rio Grande. The mission bell rang farewell. She took my hand. She said, come back. No matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico. Come back, amigo. No matter.
Michael Martin Murphy's Land of Enchantment. And let me take a minute just to promote something that we've got going on. Michael Martin Murphy's granddaughter, Fiona, was born with a disease that's commonly known as brittle bone disease. And that affects primarily the long bones in the body. But these children suffer broken bones even before birth and after, and it's there is no cure for this disease. And so about 14 years ago, he established the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation to assist children and the families that are dealing with both the emotional and the financial stress of this disease. And so the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association is sponsoring a national trail ride to benefit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, and it will be the first weekend in June, June 5th, 6th, and 7th, and will be held in five states, Washington, Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, and in Tennessee. And so we want to invite you to check out twhbea.com. twhbea.com for more information, or you can visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, to find out more about that. But we're going to have beautiful trails in five states and in Germany. We'll have clinics. We'll have vendors that are there for some great shopping at each of the locations. And then we're going to have some amazing concerts and music throughout the week. But our grand finale will be the concerts on Saturday night. And in Tennessee, Michael Martin Murphy will be performing for that final night. So it's just a great time, a great opportunity to participate and support a very worthy cause. And that's the first weekend in June. If you're in Tennessee for the HTCAA trail ride up at the Big South Fork, drive about 2 hours south to the Cumberland Mountains and visit us at Circle E Guest Ranch and be part of that as well, because it'd be a great 10 days of just beautiful horseback riding and great activities as well. So we'd encourage you to do that. Again, you can visit twhbea.com for more information and to register, as well as equestrianlegacy.net. So there's my plug, folks. And it's a great cause, so we hope we have a lot of folks that turn out in each of these states. We've got some great artists that are performing everywhere, and so it's going to be just a lot of fun. Well, Larry, bless us with another one of these poems of yours.
All right. This one's a true story as well, and I've got another friend named Lanny, and this is actually Eddie's uncle. It's called Electronics and Baling Twine.
All right.
I call this one. So, but Lanny's kind of a techno freak, so anyway. It says, riding with my friend Lanny is always an adventure. You never know what's going to happen next. While there's times that before we could go for a ride, he'd even have to send off a text. One day before we went for a ride, an electronic gadget he stuck in my pocket, slapped a headphone on my head, a mic in front of my face, and said, "Now, don't make so much racket. I think he thinks I talk too loud and scare off all the game, but that's all right if he thinks that way. We're friends just the same." Well, I'm all wired up with my communicator, and Lanny has one to match. We make ready to get on our horses, who weren't too easy to catch. I stuck my foot in the stirrup and pulled myself astride, nearly dumping myself on the ground as the saddle rolled to the side. I was so bundled and wired up I could hardly get on my horse, Lanny laughing himself silly before we could begin our course. Finally got on our way, and partway through the ride, he fishes his GPS out, announces where we are with pride. I got to looking at his gear, and what a sight to see. Baling twine holding his bags to the saddle, it began to tickle me. Headphones, walkie-talkies, and GPS abound. High-tech baling twine holding it together. My mirth did abound.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, and I tell you what, the other day I had the, it was just a really neat surprise when you had composed a poem for Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I think that's probably the nicest compliment that I've had in a long time. But just a super, super talented guy, and we enjoy your poetry, and we're going to have to see if we can't find some of your music somewhere to introduce people to.
You better be careful what you're wishing for. It might come true.
Oh gosh. Well, we'll have to try to do that. And you know, we want to remind folks to again visit Horse Trails and Camping Across America on Facebook. You will thoroughly enjoy the photographs, the information, and you'll meet some nice, nice folks like Shannon and Larry and Doug. And it's great when you can finally get out and meet these folks somewhere on the trail. So, and Shannon, give us that website registration page again.
Absolutely. If you just go to HTCAA, for Horse Trails Camping Across America, .org, and just sign up there, and you'll get the updates from there, and definitely check out Facebook from there on.
All right. Well, I have registered and looking for all of these notifications. I almost feel like I am helping you give birth to this website because we've talked about this.
I think so. Yeah, it's, so, it's a little over 9 months, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You need a little puffing and breathing here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That is right. That's right. Well, listen, let me tell you guys, next week we're going to have a great show. And this has been a terrific show today. Next week we have a tremendous artist that will be joining us on the Campfire Cafe. Her name is Mary Kay, and she just happens to be from Utah, the same place that Bryn Hill is from. So they must be doing something right in Utah. But Mary Kay is going to be joining us. She is a great singer and a writer. So we'll have a lot of fun talking with her and listening to her music. We're also going to have Ray Evans and Christine Pearl from Circle E Guest Ranch that will be joining us. And that's a really neat place, 120 miles of trails to ride there, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about the upcoming Fiona Rose Murphy trail ride there as well. And then for you cowboy mounted shooting fans, we have a good friend of mine from college days, Marty Luffman, that will be joining us. And he's going to be sharing information about the cowboy mounted shooting, and he's just always a lot of fun to talk to. I think Marty knows everybody everywhere. And he's another member on HTCAA, Shannon. So I just keep running into these people all over the place that are members of your Facebook page. So anyway, we'll have a lot of fun next week. I want to thank again my guest today, Bryn Hill, a super, super nice guy and a great artist, and also Lexi Peters, who's doing such a great job in putting together this Hooves for Heroes program down in Hope, Florida. And you know, that the name of the town just is kind of special, isn't it? Because that's what she's bringing to the service, to the servicemen and their families and these kids with special needs. So thanks to Lexi, and as always, thank you to Shannon Schraffnagel for joining us from Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and tune in every Thursday to listen to her. Special, special treat to have Larry Hatfield joining us from Oklahoma, and my neighbor here in Tennessee, Doug Elam. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
Gary. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Gary.
Look forward to talking with you again soon, and we want to remind everyone that you can join us every Thursday at noon on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Branded by the land, befriended by the wind, you may never pass this way again. But something in the wind is saying that your time is now, boy. Your daddy calls you a drifter. I call you cowboy.
How it rains to hear the whistling wire. I know we really haven't changed since our first branding fire. It's such a long, winding road through years of sacrifice.
If we knew then now, what do we know? Would we still choose the life? We rode the glory trail, my friend, that leads right straight to God. Still searching everywhere west to find a riding job. You take the Baker Highway home to Southeast Oregon. You take it easy all alone, but you are not alone. 400 miles you have to fill, new dreams to carry on. You're just a buckaroo, but still your legacy grows strong. You ride the glory trail, my friend, that leads right straight to God. Still searching everywhere west to find the right. Gone once more with you, my friend, to ride.